What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 81. I am Derek, and this episode is brought to you by Zalman. They've been sponsoring quite a bit of our episodes lately. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman. Check out their stuff. They make really good products, if we're being honest, so definitely worth taking a look at. With us today, of course, is Bob. Think Computer Bob.
What's up, guys? What's going on? How's your Friday going?
It's not bad. Out of work. It's a weekend, right?
Yeah, it's raining here.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, that sucks.
It's one of those like dreary, it's been raining all day type of day.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
It's just really cold here now. It hasn't been raining.
Yeah, it's so weird because as we were talking before we started recording, it was like 80 degrees here. And now it's like in the 50s and 60s. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think it was Monday. I was like, I went out for a bike ride, mountain bike ride, and I was sweating like crazy, like struggling with the heat. And now I'm like putting layers on. So
yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Stay inside and play some video games and build some computers.
Yeah, Battlefield 1 comes out what, today, right?
Yeah. Is it fully released today?
I think it's the 21st, right? I've been so busy with other stuff, which we'll talk about, but I'm pretty sure Battlefield 1 is available today. Yeah,
right.
Initial release date, October 21st. Yeah.
Yeah.
So get out there and get some Battlefield 1. I will be getting it probably not this week, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but probably next week that will be what I'll be doing all of that week. So
nice. I think that I'm going to wait because I've bought Battlefield games right when they launched before, and they don't always play so well. I think I shouldn't have issues, but man, when I bought Battlefield 4, I just could not play it.
Now, are you talking about single player or multiplayer?
Multiplayer.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, like, I really want to get into the single player in this, actually. I'm, like, more excited for the single player.
Okay. I don't trust it to be good, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, same here. But from what a lot of their marketing and stuff is, that they really put a lot of time into the single player.
Okay.
So I'm kind of excited for that. And I love that time period.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's really cool. I'm a big history guy, so being able to play through that time period in a story setting is exciting to me. I'm more excited for the single player than the multiplayer. Obviously, I'll be playing more of the multiplayer as time goes on, but I will definitely be getting the game. So,
yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
My biggest thing is that just hopefully they've hired some new writers because their single players have been pretty
god-awful
in the story department.
Yes, for sure. So, anyways, let's jump into reviews this week. And we have three products, all gaming-related products, which are pretty cool. So first, we'll start with a graphics card. And this one comes from MSI. And it is their GeForce GTX 1060 Gaming X 3GB. Another very long product name. But this is a really, really great card. So, if you did not know, NVIDIA released initially a GTX 1060, and then they released a GTX 1060 3GB version. So the normal card has 6GB. The 3GB version, of course, has 3GB, but also the 3GB card is slightly cut down, too. So it's not just getting half the memory. You're getting a cut-down card as well. Mm. So it makes a little bit of difference. Not a whole lot, but enough for, I believe it's a like $30 difference or something like that in price. $30 or $40 price difference between the two cards. And then obviously with all of the special cards, which this is, there's different prices on them as well. But this is the Gaming X card from MSI. And one thing I really want to point out is that MSI, their cards specifically, are some of the best out there. I would say between them and Asus, they have the best, in my opinion, the best graphics cards available. They do a really great job. They do a lot of things that you won't get on cards like this. This is a lower end card, and they still completely deck this card out. You have a great cooling system. You have RGB lighting. You have a full backplate, and the card itself, it has a top plate as well under the cooler. That covers most of the components too. So it's a, so when you pick it up, you know, like you've had high end cards. When you pick up that high end card, you can feel its weight. You can you just know it's a quality card, and this
that
is a
high end feel.
Yeah, and this gives you that high end feel on a low end card. And MSI does that across their entire line, which I really love. So yeah, so this is the their 3 gig card. It does have a factory overclock. It does have the custom cooler, which is the Twin Frozer 6, which is just an awesome cooler. Super quiet, and it has a zero frozer technology, which means that if the GPU is idling, the fans will be completely off. So you have a pretty much silent system. And MSI kind of gives us a whole complete feature or complete package here with their gaming app, which allows you to load the three profiles. So this card does come with three separate profiles with different clock speeds, all which you can change automatically with the gaming app. The gaming app also allows you to have the fans running at all times if you want, so you can turn zero frozer off. You can do a lot of cool stuff with their gaming app. And since the initial release of the gaming app, they've done a lot of work and they've made it really, really great. It's much, much improved from when it first came out. And it makes things so much easier. It allows you to control the LEDs on this as well. So the MSI Dragon logo lights up, but also the front part of the card on the fan shroud, the red accents, if you want to call them, those light up red as well, which is pretty cool, again, for a low-end card. And this will perform better than, of course, a stock GTX 1060 3 gigabytes. We don't have a whole lot of cards in our testing, so we can't, you know, compare it to other GTX 1060s because we don't have them. But this is one of the higher clocked ones, and in my opinion, it's one of the better built ones as far as quality. So it does hold about a $20 premium over the $199 of the GTX 1060 currently. So for an extra $20, I feel you're getting a great value out of this. Again, it's very well built. It's a full package, not only with software, but the hardware and all of the features and, of course, the lighting and everything like that. It's just a fully featured card. You know, the only downside to this card, and it's not MSI's fault, it's an NVIDIA fault, is, of course, it is a GTX 1060, so you have no SLI, which would defeat the purpose of their other higher cards, obviously.
We kind of have to change our way of thinking with these new 10 series cards, because in my mind, it's always, well, then you just get another one, you know?
Yeah.
You can't do that these days.
Yeah, you can't do that with this. That's really the only downside. But this is a really great card. If you're looking to get any NVIDIA card, I highly recommend MSI. Just the quality, and, you know, they're just really well done. And I really love that MSI gaming app. From I saw it a few years ago when it was first released, and it was kind of like a piece of crap. It didn't work well. It didn't do anything. And now they've kind of wrapped all of the software features for the card into this gaming app, and there's a lot that you can do. So
does it do? Obviously, does all your overclocking and everything?
They have their oh, I forget what it's called now. Their Afterburner, which has been out for a long time. They still have that for all of the overclocking. Okay. But the gaming app, it allows you to easily switch your profiles. It allows you to easily they have game overlays. So on top of your game, you can have certain overlays, which is kind of nice. Again, you can turn your fan, you can set your fan curves and things like that. You can change the LED settings, and they're controlled independently, which is kind of nice. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do in there.
Okay, but it doesn't, you don't directly do your overclocking?
No, only if you're changing the profiles.
Okay.
So that are built in.
You can save some profiles, and then, or no, they're built-in profiles.
They're built-in profiles, so you have Silence, Gaming, and OC. But they do have their Afterburner software, which allows you to completely tune the card how you want it.
Yeah, of course. It just it's kind of seems like something that would have at least been be like built in or linked through to Afterburner.
Yeah, true. Software. They could have done that. And I think they should actually. But I think
you have multiple applications on your desktop when you can go through one to do everything.
Yeah, that is very true. I think it's a lot of companies, not only with graphics cards, but with motherboards, we see that a lot too. We see all these different pieces of software. And especially when I review motherboards, I was like, I want one single app that I can open that might launch these other apps, But I need a single piece of software that I open that I know where stuff is. I don't want to have to go to one and go to another one. And I'm at, I think with graphics cards, we're getting to the point where we have all these other features when it comes to fan stuff, when it comes to the lighting, and obviously overclocking and tuning, that we need, you know, a single application that I can launch my tuning stuff, that I can launch my, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the gaming app is close, but again, their Afterburner is made for super, you know, enthusiast type overclocking.
Yes and no. Yes, of course. You can do every single level of overclocking you want. You can possibly want to do. You can do on it. But I also think that it's fairly user-friendly, too.
It is. It's very user-friendly, especially compared to the older versions of it. Yeah. And I just think that they have the gaming app for people that want to easily switch the profile, which makes sense. But yeah, then I wish there was, like, you know, there's little buttons that say silent mode, gaming mode, OC mode. There should be a one that says advanced, and when you click advanced, that should open Afterburner.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
But all in all, this is a really great card. Super impressed with it. And the one thing that we haven't really mentioned as far as performance goes is this card is very, very close to a GTX 980. As far as performance. Yeah. And, you know, that is pretty impressive considering the card is just over $200.
Yeah.
And that's, it is $219.99.
No, I mean, how close is it in performance?
About 20% lower. Not much. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the gap that we're seeing now as far as performance from last generation is huge, and I really want to point that out because this will play anything in 1080p.
Right.
At extremely high settings, which for $200 is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Compared to, obviously, last generation, where you needed to be in the 300, 350 range for something that could do that decently well.
Yeah.
So this gives you that, and even if you wanted to go to 1440p, a GTX 1060, the 6 gig version, should do that pretty well. Obviously, this card isn't designed for 4K, so we don't even, you know, it's not even worth mentioning because this card will not play 4K games at reasonable frame rates at reasonable settings, which us enthusiasts want. So, but for pretty much any game out there, 1080p, this card will handle. 1440p, you're going to have to put some settings down. But if you're playing like Overwatch or League of Legends or something like that in 1440p, this card will do it just fine.
Browser games and stuff.
Yeah. So it's a really great card. Again, I would highly recommend MSI graphics cards. They're one of my favorites. So yeah.
Nice.
And you took a look at a very cool gaming keyboard in Zalman's ZMK900M.
I did, yeah. So this is their newest RGB keyboard, I believe. Pretty sure. And it's full RGB. It's mechanical, but it's actually Kale switches, Kale blues. So we're not talking about cherries here. But it's still, I was pretty impressed with it. Initially looking at it, I wasn't that excited because in the past I've used boards with Kale switches and they're just not great switches. They're better than like domes, but they're definitely not on the level of like a cherry switch. But Zalman built such a nice board around them that it actually like they feel better than
other. Is it the actual chassis that it's in?
I think it is.
Okay.
I think that they're it feels a lot more solid and you get a better response from the key.
Nice.
And in addition to that, the larger keys are designed with more support too, so that it's not just the switch that the space bar has multiple mounting positions and stuff, so or mounting spots that it, you know, supports the whole thing.
Nice.
Other than that, it's RGB like everything else is RGB now, you know. So it's a full color spectrum. The absolute biggest downfall of this keyboard, though, is that there's no software for it. So it's got an amazing amount of effects that it can do, and you have to program everything through the keyboard, and it's a nightmare. There's really no other way to explain it.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Looking at the price of this, which is just under $80,
yeah,
That's really good for a mechanical single lit key RGB backlit keyboard, I would say.
Yeah, it's probably the best price you'll find on an RGB mechanical.
Now, is that price worth not having the software? Here's the thing. Now, you set it once to whatever you like, right? You take a couple hours or an hour or however long it will take, right?
Yeah.
Is that worth the money you would save, say, buying a $150 keyboard, which is around $139, $149, $159 for the higher-end keyboards that do have the software?
Yeah. I mean, I also think, though, too, when you get up to those other boards, you're getting cherry switches, so that's part of the
price. That is true. That is true.
So I think that this is a great value, but you're still going to, every step of the way, you're going to hate programming it. It's,
gotcha.
It's like more complicated than it almost needs to be, I guess. It's not a very intuitive like setup. It's like three or four key presses.
Derek did a video, which is on our YouTube, that went over the different lighting settings. And even doing that video, he had a little bit of trouble, you know.
Like, it just didn't do what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I think that, and we talked about this before, is that any company that makes a gaming device where you need to program keys or buttons, you should have software.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially with a keyboard.
Happens too, with this, is that you get it gets. It's not that it's, I guess, not doing what it's supposed to do. It's that you're in a different command sequence than you don't even realize it.
Because yeah.
There's nothing to indicate what you did or where it's at.
Yeah.
In the setup, so like, it's kind of like blind coding, sort of.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, it's like you're typing. It's like putting in a password that you can't see what you're typing. You just know you're inputting something, but you don't know what it might be. And yeah, that makes it really difficult. And again, I just think that, you know, having software makes this so much better. And I could see this being a $100 keyboard with the software.
I could see this being, yeah, $110, $120 even.
Yeah.
Even with the Kale switches. Yeah, because it would just be a much more well-rounded product. Because when you go through and in gaming with this thing, there's nothing to complain about. It's heavy. It doesn't move. It's not the heaviest. I've got heavier mechanicals, but it's plenty heavy. It doesn't move. The rubber grips are great. It's electronically. It has zero ghosting. Zero end key rollover. There's nothing more that you can want like electronically. This thing is pretty much a beast from that point of view. And it's RGB. It's got on-the-fly macros, which is actually incredibly easy to set up. So you can like be in-game and program your macros, no problem.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, the thing that bothers me about not having the software is if I'm playing a different game, I want to be able to load my macros for each game I'm in and like do all that kind of stuff. Would save me a lot of time, obviously. But again, I feel for the price. The price seems right. For not having software, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. It's a trade off, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's trying to $80. That's a really hard price to hit for mechanical keyboards.
Yeah. But, totally.
You know what else is great about this is it's got beneath the top of the deck or the cover, you know, it's got a gray like sparkly paint on it.
Oh, it's sparkly? I didn't really...
Yeah, it's not, like, super sparkly, but, like, it's reflective.
Oh, okay, so you can see the illumination better.
Yeah, so it actually illuminates better than a lot of other boards that I've seen.
Okay, that's awesome. I still have this white keyboard, which I love.
Yeah.
And the illumination just looks amazing, because you're on a you have white keys on a white deck.
Yes.
And, yeah, so the gray deck on the black would look really good.
Yeah, so that's, you get a lot more light out of it that way.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a good. Honestly, if you're a budget gamer but you want mechanical, and believe us, you do. this is seriously one that you should. This is probably the one you want to go to if you're a budget. If you're a budget gamer, then this is the one. It's got a great feel. I'm still using it. So usually I'll switch straight back to an older board that I have.
Yeah,
I'm just used to, and I'm still using this one.
Yeah, I'm that way too, and this the keyboard that I have now is the one that I've been using for a while, and I really like it. So definitely check out Derek's review. he knows what he's talking about when it comes to keyboards, and he's very picky. So
yeah, I've tried a lot, kind of just as a hobby, just tried keyboards. So
yeah, so definitely check it out. But it is a bargain at the price it's at. And I took a look at a mouse, a gaming mouse, and this one is designed for MMO and MOBA gamers specifically. And we're coming to that point, and we've been this point for a while now, is that we have mice and keyboards specifically designed for different types of gamers. So if you strictly play MMOs, if you strictly play MOBA games, if you're FPS, like there's different products made specifically for you. And this one comes from SteelSeries, and it's the Rival 500. And it has 15 programmable buttons on it, which may seem cumbersome, but it's actually the way it's designed. I don't feel like I'm using one of those mice that have like a ton of buttons, and they're hard to press and anything like that. Yeah. They've done a really good job designing this mouse, especially the buttons that where your thumb would be. To be very intuitive and actually quite easy to press.
Yeah, it looks like they're good size.
Yeah, they're good size, and like they're made to be pressed as you rotate your thumb around in a circular motion.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of if you think about it in sort of like the old scroll iPods. I don't know if you ever had one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about the scroll wheel.
Yeah, it's the same type of circular motion that allows you to press those, and they're not actually that hard to press, and it's very intuitive. And I was like, oh, this is one of those gimmicky mice, like we've seen them and they're cool and everything, but like you accidentally press two buttons at once, you can't reach a certain button, there's too many buttons, like it's just, this one is done right, it's just enough, just the right amount of buttons, all which, and I don't have the largest hands, all which are pressable easily with my hand. Nice. Which I liked. Very comfortable to use. It has a 16,000 DPI sensor from PixArt. It's a really well done mouse. And what's one thing that's cool is if you notice on the side where the thumb buttons are, you see the two bottom buttons?
Like the thumb rest?
Yeah, so if you don't plan to use those, there's actually a hardware switch on the bottom that turns them off.
Oh, nice.
So if you are a person that puts more weight there and you're accidentally pressing them or something like that, they can be completely turned off. And it's a hardware switch too, so they don't even click like they normally would.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. So they basically turn into a thumb rest completely. Yeah. So you can completely turn them off.
That's cool.
One thing that I love about this mouse is the software. This uses the SteelSeries Engine 3 software, and this software works with all recent SteelSeries products, and in my opinion, it's one of the best out there. So you can fully program all the 15 buttons, you can easily set macros, you can change your DPI settings, things like that quite easily. But on top of that, built into the software, you have a library tab. And this library tab allows you to add your games, much like you would in a launcher like Steam or something like that. Add the game, and then you can create profiles for each game. So as soon as you load the game, your profile's loaded. So you don't have to go into the software, load your profile, then load the game.
Yeah.
It's just convenience, and it makes it much easier.
Yeah.
And another cool thing about this mouse, it does have tactile feedback. So it will vibrate and do different things when you do different actions within the game. So in the basic software itself, you can set a cooldown timer. So one thing that's nice about the cooldown timer is that if you're, especially in MMOs and MOBA games, if you're doing spells or something like that, and you know the cooldown time, maybe it's a minute and a half, maybe it's 500 seconds, whatever it is, you can have that set, and then it will give you a tactile feedback or like a vibration to let you know. Wait, what?
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
To let you know when that whatever is down. Now you can set the timers yourself, but they also have a really cool feature called Game Sense, which they're working with developers of games to allow things to be added within the game itself, so it will know when to do it. Right now they. They have, it's CSGO, Dota, and a mod of Minecraft. But like in CSGO, like right now they have it built in, so like when freeze time has ended, it will give you a vibration, and there's different ones that you can add and things like that. But I think it's super cool because it's great to know, okay, even in like RTS games, when your spell's ready, or like if you're playing StarCraft, like if certain launches are ready, you know, and things whenever you know the cooldown, because like you're playing, you're doing a bunch of stuff, you're not looking at your cooldowns or when things ready. Even in MMOs, like when I played WoW, I'd always forget like when my cooldowns were done, and I would be like, oh, it's finally done, like now I'm ready to kill this guy.
Especially for a health spell or something, like have a countdown when it's like not in effect anymore.
Yeah,
like an area of effect spell.
And you can set the different ones, like you can not just vibration, you can do like double vibration, long vibration, like it's really cool. And
I don't think I've seen a mouse that I've seen that actually has that.
Yeah, I think this mouse, the Rival 900, which is the one above this, and maybe a couple of their other products have this built in.
Yeah, but it's so simple though. Like they're in every single phone we have, you know. Like, why not throw it in a mouse? It makes a lot of sense. That's smart.
So that's one of the super cool things about this mouse as well. It is, I really like that. Now with the game sense, it seems to only be working with CS:GO, Dota 2, and Minecraft. But again, you can set your own timers yourself too.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
those are pre-programmed for you.
So then you can hit whenever, say like, okay, say I'm playing whatever game. No, say I'm playing like an MMO. Say I'm playing WoW, and like I have my macro for, or like I have my spell set to like 7 on the number pad.
Okay.
I also set that as my countdown timer in the software.
Oh, so since you've hit that button.
And then when I hit that button, the countdown timer starts, and then I get that audible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of how it's set up to work, and it's nice. Super cool. That's one of the coolest things I like about this mouse. It also has RGB lighting, which again, as we talked about, everything is RGB. Two different lighting zones, the scroll wheel, as well as the SteelSeries logo, and you can control them independently. So really great mouse. I feel it's perfect for MMOs as well as MOBA games, because you can have all your spells set to the different things on the thumb. And it's very intuitive, and it just works. It's not one of those cumbersome things, and that's the biggest thing about it. The one downside to this mouse that I did find was just that there's only two quick DPI switches, which I didn't like. Usually most mice have three, so you can cycle through really quick. Not that it's a huge deal, but I just think that having three would have been nicer. If say like I'm in Photoshop and I need a slower mouse really quick, I want to be able to cycle through at least three different DPI settings. And the only other thing is having 15 buttons. For some people that's just too much and they want something more streamlined. But of course, if you're looking for something more streamlined, you're not buying this mouse anyways.
No, it's too much going on.
But I really like this mouse. It's one of the coolest ones I've reviewed in a while, and the software is what really makes it. And of course, we just talked about that, having the software is a huge plus. So, and it's $79.99. I feel for that price, it's definitely justified. So,
cool. You know, I gotta say too that a lot of people think that these are just like MMO or RPG or RTS mice, you know, with all the buttons. But get one and set it up for like a first-person shooter game with all your weapon switches and stuff, and give that a shot. You will.
Or even video editing, photo editing, things like that. And the library tab that's built into the that's built into software. The Engine 3 software. You can add it allows you to add any executable, not just games.
Oh, okay. So you can launch applications.
Yeah, and it's cross. Device. So the Engine 3 software will work with a SteelSeries keyboard as well as a SteelSeries mouse and a SteelSeries headset. And you can set up different profiles for each one of those and have it load a certain profile for your keyboard and a certain profile for your mouse when you launch that application.
That's cool.
It's a really well done software. Like I said, one of the best out there. So
nice.
So yes. So those were our reviews for the week. A lot of cool gaming stuff. And like I said, just in perfect time because Battlefield 1 is out.
Yeah.
Yes. So we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And of course, you guys know what that is. That is where we cover a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a build called Big Red, and it is from Tech Max TV. And he was upgrading his personal rig, and this looks like a pretty badass personal rig, I have to say.
Substantial personal upgrade there.
Yes. And it is in the Fantex Enthuprimo SE, which is that is a very big case.
Yeah.
And he completely gutted it and kind of set it up his own way inside, which is kind of nice. And
I actually reviewed the regular version of this. It's a really nice case.
Yeah, it's a big case. And he did a pretty clean, I feel it's pretty clean, water cooling setup. And added his own side panel, completely cut it, which means he can show off more of what's inside. This is a triple 980 Ti setup, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
And red, the color is red, white, and black, which I also like. And it's just clean. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting that with that color scheme, he didn't go with an ROG board.
This is true.
But, you know, it still looks good. I think he could have gotten a little more color into it if he would have done that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty slick water cooling setup, single loop, but he's got dual reservoirs. And they Y in together and Y out down to the dual pump and then into them from the quad radiator, quad 3 120. So you got a 480 up top and a 480 down below, I believe, as well.
Yeah. It's
harkens back to the day of massive builds. We've moved towards the tiny as of late. The small form factor and such.
Yes.
But this is the good old days of just as much water cooling as you can fit.
And it's all bits power.
Yeah, that's sweet too.
Yeah. You know, again, so many times we see all EK. And while bits power, I would say it was, what, number two in the water cooling? I would say.
Yeah, could be.
I would say...
probably not, actually, in fittings, yeah. I'd actually say they're number one in fittings.
Yes. But everybody loves... Everybody loves the bits power fittings. It's just, you know, their logo is just cool, I think.
Oh, it's the best, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so all bits power, water cooling, custom hard tubing in this. This is a really good build, I think. And definitely a nice little upgrade for a further main PC.
Yeah,
this is not a show build or something that he had to ship off after he was done. This is his home rig, it seems.
Yeah, this is awesome. I've been there. To have a rig like this, it's like just so much fun every day to sit down at your desk.
Yeah, it's super awesome. So definitely check it out. It is, again, from Tech Max TV. And if you don't like this build, we have a full section of mods in Case Mod Friday. So if you're looking for inspiration or seeing what you can do with a PC, maybe you're new to the whole scene, we have a ton in there. So definitely check them out. And that brings us to news. And the big story this week was that NVIDIA officially announced their GeForce GTX 1050 and 1050 Ti. And these were highly anticipated for their price. These will be $139 for the Ti version and $109 for the non-Ti version. And these will, from all accounts, give you 1080p gaming at pretty high settings.
Nice.
For just over $100, yeah.
Okay, so it's not almost no money, but in the grand scheme of gaming, it is.
Yeah, so, and based, I haven't looked at if there are even reviews out yet, but it should provide better performance than the RX 460, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really good. And it's so great that, you know, I know a lot of people do have 1440p displays and 4K displays, but I mean, I still run two 24-inch 1080p displays. And yes, gaming at 4K, I do have a 4K monitor here, and gaming at 4K is amazing, right?
Yeah.
But gaming at 1080p is just fine, I feel, right now.
I think if you're playing multiplayer stuff, 1080, like a shooter, at 1080 is just fine. I'm like a 22-inch 1080p monitor is like, it's almost more competitive.
Yeah.
because you, I don't know, it just feels faster.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and it's so great that at these prices we're able to get 1080p gaming with pretty high settings. You know.
Yeah, I think that it's the best part of this is that it makes it so much the barrier to entry in PC gaming is much lower here.
Yeah. And I really like that. That gets more people on the PC side of things.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I saw that, is it PC Gamer? Or one of the PC mags, they did the lowest or cheapest build, entry level build or whatever, but, you know, still gameable.
Yeah.
They got it down to like $500 or $600 now?
Yeah, it is so cheap to. Not cheap. So yeah, it's like.
No, it is, though. That's really close to console pricing.
Yeah, and that's what's great. And obviously, we know. And I mean, in our opinion, and I wouldn't say fact, but that's you can do so much more with PC games as far as, you know, look at GTA V with all the modding and things you can do. And you can only do that on the PC version. A lot of multiplayer features. Are PC only, you know.
Just look at Battlefield 1. This is the first time that consoles have been able to have 64-player maps. It's the launch of Battlefield 1. We've had 64-player maps since Battlefield 3.
Yes.
On PC.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And it's so great that we have these cards coming out. And from all accounts, this is going to be one of the most competitive spots for both Nvidia and AMD. That's why AMD didn't put out their high-end card.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And they're waiting till the next generation to do so, is because this is the most competitive spot right now, is $100 to $200. That's where they're going to sell most of their product.
Yeah, you can happily do this, and you can play, I guarantee you can play for a couple of years without being unhappy.
Yeah,
with a card like this. And then you'll get the bug. Inevitably, you'll get the bug, and you'll upgrade to something massive. But
yeah,
it'll get you. So it'll get you gaming.
It will. So talking about gaming, Power Color finally started selling their Devil Box external graphics card solution, and we saw this. Razer has their
they won an award for it.
Their Razer Core. And this is much like the same thing. It's developed with AMD's X-Connect technology, which uses Thunderbolt 3. And what it basically is, it's an external graphics card enclosure that you put a high-end graphics card in, and you can have basically an Ultrabook that will be able to play high-end games when you plug it into this, which makes sense for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people want that super light, easy to travel with device, but when they get home they want a game. Yeah. And this kind of solves that problem. It's a little, right now I feel it's a little too expensive to justify it, because just this enclosure right now is selling for $379. That is not with anything else in it. You have to buy the graphics card. It does come with there's a power supply in there. Okay. So it's like a 400-watt or 500-watt power supply.
$379.
It gives you gigabit Ethernet in there as well. It gives you USB 3.0, I think. You have the controllers in there, so the Thunderbolt controllers in there. It's not just like a box that houses the thing. It has a lot of different type of stuff in it.
I just think that you're gonna be up to $700 at least, I would say.
Yeah. And with that, just like we talked about, you can buy a full gaming PC.
Have another PC. Of course, on the other hand, if you're a professional and you travel a lot, this is easier to travel with.
I mean, yes. The whole idea I think behind this is too is I can take my laptop with me to work. You know, obviously I'm not gaming there, but when I get home, I can plug in one cable and I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of does make it nice. I think right now these are too expensive. Especially because, like, again, you're at almost $400 without a graphics card. You know, middle of the road graphics card, even the ones we've been talking about, $220, $230. You know, it's just
I don't see why you would go with middle of the road.
Yeah, if you're doing this, you would want to go super high end.
Yeah, or at least you want at least like 1070.
Yeah, so I mean, right now I think it's too expensive. I think it's a really cool idea. I think that with Thunderbolt, you're able to actually do it. Because we've seen these before. We've seen it with the Express cards and things like that. years ago.
It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
An external GPU, yeah.
But this makes it, Thunderbolt 3 makes it more practical.
Mm-hmm. Thunderbolt is like the key to it, really.
Yeah. So it's cool to see. I don't think it's practical unless you just kind of have money to throw at it. But it is super convenient. It's one cable that you plug in to your laptop. That's it.
Yeah. Does it feed back to the laptop? Or does it?
No, it feeds right back to the laptop. So you'll, whatever you're playing, you can essentially play on
laptop.
On your laptop. Now, you also, because it's Thunderbolt, you can output from your laptop to like two 4K displays with the Thunderbolt well.
Which is what I picture more happening at home.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I just think it's too expensive right now.
Yes. Of course, maybe if you're actually somebody who's like looking at this, you're also, you know, you've got $2,000 Ultrabook already anyways, so maybe...
Yeah, well, here's the thing is that there's not many Ultrabooks that have Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah, or that have... Because you're going to need a decent CPU, too.
Yeah, I know that obviously the Razer one does. So this will work with the Razer one.
Yeah.
Dell XPS, the new ones, have Thunderbolt 3. I'm sure there's a couple other ones, but those are the two big ones that I do know of. So
I'm going to guess that each of the main manufacturers have one.
But yes, or have it as an upgrade that's available.
Yeah, but it's not a mainstream connector.
Yeah, at least not yet. Hopefully in this next generation coming, it will be just for the speed. And the thing is too, it's a USB type C connection. It's a type C connector. You know, that's the connection, and that's you know, what's happening now is that a lot of, just like with the MacBook, that's the same connector as your power connection.
Yeah.
And that's how the Dell one's set up, and that's how the Razer Core is set up. It's the exact same way, or the Razer, whatever it's called.
Blade.
Yeah, the Blade setup as well. So it is a common connection. The thing that's not common is Thunderbolt 3, because all these new laptops have USB Type-C, but it's not Thunderbolt. That's the big difference.
Yeah.
But talking about stuff that's coming out or that's coming available.
You know, I think this is actually weird.
Why?
Go ahead, explain it, and I'll explain it.
Well, Samsung, their new 960 Evo M.2 SSDs are available for pre-order. And the reason why this is a big deal, I think this is, we're coming to the time now where high capacity, super fast SSDs are becoming affordable. To give you an idea of speed, the 250 gig version of this, the 960 Pro, or 960 Evo, I'm sorry, the 960 Evo is has write or read speeds of 3200 megabytes a second and 1500 megabytes a second, and it is only $129. Sorry,
yeah,
and
holy crap,
that puts it around 50 cents a gigabyte.
I didn't realize how affordable and just how fast the Evo was, to be honest.
Yeah, so these are super fast. And, you know, of course, your device has to support it. So you need PCI Express 3.0 X4, which all new motherboards, Z170 and X99, do have, as well as a lot of laptops as well, do support it. You know, but I think that we're coming to a time now where, you know, these, because we've seen NVMe since the beginning of the year, and we're getting close to the end of the year now. And
it's really matured.
It's matured, and you know, Samsung is one of the big players, one of the major players, and they're making it affordable.
Yeah.
So
they've like really positioned themselves to be like the solid state drive, like storage company. Like I would have said a couple years ago, I wouldn't have mentioned Samsung. I don't think, like, they were there, but I would have gone with like OCZ.
I think it's too, it's because as enthusiasts, we see the enthusiast brands. We don't see this stuff. But if you think, Samsung is such a major player.
Yeah. In everything. Like
that. They make the NAND that's on this.
Yeah.
I believe they make the controller too. You know, so they're pretty big into this, and they're the ones that can, you know, since they're making the NAND and they're making the different parts of this, they can make it affordable for everybody. And for a 250 gig M.2 that will be my OS drive for $129 at speed is awesome.
I want to make this upgrade.
Yeah,
I don't have NVMe.
The 500 gig is $249 and the 1 terabyte is $479. All available for pre-order on Samsung's US online store.
Even $479 isn't bad.
For 1 terabyte? No, it's not.
No, it's really not for those speeds.
Yeah. So, you know, again, if you have and it's not just, you guys have, a lot of people have it, you have to have a board that supports NVMe and PCI Express 3.0. X4, not X2, X4. To get the full speeds. Now, so these will still be fast. Yeah, these will still go fast at X2. But you need to have, it needs to be a PCI Express at least, or it won't work. So if you have an old board that you see, oh, I have an M.2, I'm going to get one of these, it's not going to work probably.
Yeah, probably not worth it. You can probably save some money and get a different drive, which will still be, even M.2 will be fast.
Yeah.
And save you some space.
Yeah, but
so
these.
You want to know what I know, what think was funny though?
What?
I don't think I've ever seen a pre-order for a solid state drive.
I think this is going to be their big one because it's very inexpensive.
Yeah.
And this is like for people for up, like again, the biggest upgrade you can make to your PC where you're going to see noticeable performance besides a graphics card.
Yeah.
And obviously, like besides the big ticket items as far as graphics card and processor, but if you're doing a processor, you're going to upgrade your you're going to upgrade your motherboard anyways. Like the big difference is an SSD. If you're going from a traditional hard drive to an SSD, you're going to notice it.
I actually would say that's the biggest single change you can make. Bigger than bigger than graphics even.
And if I'm running an old 60 gigabyte hard drive, and I can upgrade to this. Or, you know, my laptop, I didn't have enough money at the time, and I just got the one that has, like, the hard drive, but my inside my PC has an M.2.
Yeah.
You know? Or, like, my PC has two M.2s, and I only bought it with one, and it's a lower capacity. I'm going to spend, you know, $250 and get a 500 gig for my games at this speed, you know, like
you
that's the thing.
Be the first one loaded into every match.
Yeah, so like that's the things that this is such a big deal for that specific market. It's huge, and again, once you know, in January we're at CES, we'll see a lot of these, and we'll see the prices just continually go down.
And we'll see similar speeds from other companies as well. From their
computers. Yes, for sure. Cool. Yeah, so that's awesome. Yeah, if you're looking to upgrade and you have and your system supports this and you have the money and you're looking for an SSD upgrade, this would be the one to get.
Yeah, and they, I mean, these are renders, but the colors and everything look good.
Yes, so
they just look like they mean business.
Yes, they do. Super fast drives. So there was an acquisition this week, a pretty big one. We don't know the number, amount, or how the deal went, but Razer acquired the majority of THX.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. We of course we were just talking about Razer. They make a whole lot of products, but they do make their audio devices are pretty popular among gamers.
Gaming specific.
And I think this acquisition really cements that audio that their audio business. But they're gonna allow THX to operate independently. So it's not like Razer is going to, at least not in the foreseeable future, Razer is not going to be the only one to be able to use THX.
Yeah, they're still going to be licensed to anybody and everybody.
Yeah. But, you know, Razer has really put out some products, and they're not that well known, but audio products. They have a professional headset, not a gaming headset, a professional headset made for audiophiles. Their mics are widely used for podcasting and things like that now. So they've done a lot with audio, and I think this will really cement their audio business. And I think it's really interesting. I think Razer has come. I remember when Razer was going out of business, maybe 8 years ago or something like that. Maybe a little bit longer. But we've been dealing with Razer for a long time, and I remember when they were like, didn't release a mouse for like a year, and like nobody knew what was going on, and then all of a sudden they like turned it around, and they're one of the major gaming brands out there now. They have retail stores now.
I would say they're probably the PC gaming brand.
Yeah.
Like, at, you know, there are other brands just as good, if not better, but they're the most visible.
Yeah, I think, I wouldn't say they're my favorite gaming brand, but no. I would say as a, they are the PC gaming brand that's known. Mm-hmm. My favorite is Corsair, I would say. I just really like Corsair products. They're made well. But Razer products are made quite well. And they, you know what's crazy is Razer products carry a premium now. They're like the Apple of the gaming world, kind of.
A bit, yeah.
You know, so that's a thing too. But every Razer product that I've reviewed, I've really liked. They do a great job on mice, keyboards, headsets, all that kind of stuff. So obviously, we just talked about they make laptops now, smartwatches. They do a lot.
They dabble in everything.
Yeah. Which, you know, and they have some really cool technologies. A lot of it we covered at CES, but really cool stuff going on with Razer, and cool to see them really come out of that dark period, which wasn't not all that long ago. You know what I mean? So yeah. Very, very cool on their part. And we'll move over to Apple, and this is kind of interesting. Apparently there was a meeting between Apple CEO Tim Cook, Foxconn, and this company called Sonder. And Sonder makes e-ink keyboards. And basically, we've seen this especially in the enthusiast crowd with OLED keyboards. Razer had one. A couple other companies where a couple keys were OLED. Yeah. They're super expensive. The OLED technology is great, but it's very, very expensive, whereas e-ink is much cheaper, but still expensive. Yeah. But anyways, it appears that Apple will implement Sonder's e-ink technology in its MacBooks by 2018. And if nobody else does this, no other major brand does this, Apple will be the first company to do this. On a major scale, because the MacBook and MacBook Pro are one of the most used laptops out there.
Yeah.
And to see this, I think, is really cool. I mean, pretty much having any keyboard you want on your keyboard is awesome. So yeah, not as much Mac people, but you know, if you're playing a game, the shortcuts for your, you know, reload or whatever it may be would actually be on the key instead of, you know,
more applicable to Mac people would be your editing keys.
Yeah, so all of your Photoshop stuff, all of your, you know what would be crazy is this could be like the end of like the keyboard covers that are made for Macs that are the shortcuts for like Photoshop and editing. Like this could be the end. But I think it's really cool. I think that if anybody's going to do it, it's for where it gets traction and becomes like a standard feature. I think Apple would be the one to do it.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
And from what the reports say, that this is going to be a standard feature on MacBooks.
It's which is cool to me, so long as these, like, the preview video that we just saw, or that we linked to, like, there's no backlighting.
Yeah. I think that...
That's a pretty big omission, I think.
Yeah, I think that I think they're working on it right now, and I think that I don't think Apple's going to put out a product that looks like that.
Okay.
You wouldn't think they would.
I don't. No, I really don't. But
yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, with Apple, you never know. But I think it's pretty cool. I think it would be a big change in the way we, use our keyboard, and especially like extended. If it does become standard, it'd be pretty cool. So we'll move back over to cases, and Lian Li, who is, I would say, one of the higher-end brands out there, they've had really great cases, and of course, the thing that distinguishes their cases is most of them are all aluminum, which is very few and far between these days, but the one thing that has lacked is their internals didn't change that much. They're kind of like slow on that front as far as internal design. And they released a new case, they didn't release it, a prototype version of this case. Photos were released, and I think they've really finally sort of upgraded the internals
join the rest of the PC community.
So this is going to be their new flagship. It's the PC V3000, and we've seen V3000s in the past, I believe. Okay. This is the new one, and internally it has a dual chamber design, which of course is standard on almost every case these days.
Yep.
And it has ample room for water cooling, long graphics cards. It has SSD mounts and hard drive mounts on the back side of the motherboard. Which is, you know, it has a very large CPU cutout. Like, all these features that have been in so many other cases, yeah. It looks like Lee and Lee is finally implementing, and they're doing it all in aluminum, which is sexy.
Yeah, I like this. I think it looks good.
Yeah, so, looks good. No word yet on when it will be released or pricing, but this one's going to be expensive, especially if it's aluminum. Totally. But it would be awesome to see some builds in this. And they've inverted the motherboard tray, which I like.
They did?
Yes.
No.
Do you not see it?
It's just a left side case.
Yeah, it's flipped.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just a left side case. It's not inverted.
Oh, not inverted. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Inverted would put it up.
So it's like it's like a BTX style. Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool as well. That actually allows you to see the fans on your graphics card.
Importantly, your water block.
Yeah, your water blocks. So again, when this case does come out, I think we'll see some cool builds in it. Probably announced later in the year, closer to CES time.
You know that the biggest trick though with these cases is that their designs are so, like, you see one and you're like, oh, that's definitely Lee and Lee on the inside. Is the way they cut things out, and then it's all aluminum. It's actually going to make modding them slightly difficult. Like, for them to have somebody do builds for them, it's
true.
Much, much harder job than other cases we're familiar with.
Very true. Well, I'm excited for it. I love big cases like that too. I'm just like, the first time I saw a Lee and Lee case in person, and I was like, man, that thing's so sexy. And it's just like, and then you pick it up and it weighs nothing because it's aluminum. It's just awesome.
They are the original boutique case manufacturer.
Yes, they are. So I'm excited for that. On the gaming front this week, which we really don't talk about as far as console gaming, Nintendo announced their new console, which is called Switch. And it's a tablet that plugs into a dock, and then you can play it on your TV as well.
It's like a gaming portable.
It's sort of like a gaming portable, but it's not so much like a Game Boy or something like that. It's a little bit bigger and obviously more.
Yeah, it's a more mature. Like
Game yeah, Boy. And it's pretty interesting. One, the especially the reason why we're covering it is it's NVIDIA Tegra powered. NVIDIA is back in the console business. You know, AMD has the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, I believe. And it looks like NVIDIA is finally back in that mix with this product. And I think it's a really cool product. I think that it's not a mobile device, right? It's not a it's not a dedicated console. It's in between.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing that we'll have to figure out is if there's a need for that in between, right? Obviously, being Nintendo, in the video that they released, there is a new Mario game coming, which is pretty cool.
And new Zelda.
I think that Zelda game was already announced.
Okay.
It was already announced or something.
I won't pretend to know a lot about
Nintendo. Yeah. So it's basically like a handheld tablet. And there's controls on each side. But what's really cool is these controllers are detachable. And they can actually turn into, you can use them sort of like Wii controllers. But you can also use them. So there's two controllers. You can use them for multiplayer games. So one person can have one controller and one person can have another controller.
Yeah.
That's very interesting as well.
I'll be curious to see how well all this implementation works.
Yeah. And then there's a dock that you plug it into. And, of course, you can play on your TV at home. One thing that's super interesting about the video, I don't know if you watched the video.
I did.
At the end, they show esports. Which is huge right now.
Yeah.
Esports is massive. I don't know. And they had a game. I don't know if that game was announced or what that game was. But whatever it may be, I don't know if I think Nintendo has to put a lot of money into esports to get it to where people, there's going to be actual tournaments for whatever that game is, and maybe future games on this. But I do like that Nintendo, because Nintendo is not an esports.
No.
And even consoles, I mean, we do. If anything, Xbox is the big esports console. You know, so I think that it's cool to see Nintendo kind of recognize that area and see what could possibly come out of it. If they can put, you know, enough money into the esports part of this, this could be a big deal. I don't know though.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it. We've seen Blizzard do some weird things. Just put the money behind it. Mm-hmm. If you put up a competition and you just throw $1 million up for, you know, for the different prizes for the prize breakdown, you're gonna create something pretty quick.
I mean, that's how Dota was so big. I mean, that was the first $1 million tournament, I believe.
Yeah, you just put the money.
And I mean, there's tournaments for, what is it, Hearthstone?
Yes.
Which is a card game.
Yes.
And yeah, so I mean, and there's gaming teams for that game. You know, but I think this is cool. You know, I think it's smart for Nvidia to be part of this because they have a product that's much like this called the Shield tablet or the Shield or whatever it is. And it's the Shield in general, from all the iterations, never has really taken off.
Not much traction on the Shield.
And what's kind of, it's kind of sucks because the Shield is a really cool product.
It's very well built.
It's all iterations of the Shield are really well done. The hardware that's behind it is really, really well done. So it's good to see that hardware and products that people are actually going to use. You know what I mean? People are going to use this. There's Nintendo fanboys all over. The internet went crazy when this was announced. And all of us PC people were like, we've seen this. It's the NVIDIA Shield with controllers on the side. Like,
but
we've seen this.
It's our fault. We didn't buy it. That's why this exists. NVIDIA's problem is they tried to sell a mobile device to the PC community.
And, yes.
Like, we play on PC. We sit at home. That's what we do.
Yeah. It looks like this will take Nintendo DS style cartridges, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that at all. I would like to download my games and have them all on my device.
But it's probably going to have like a storage issue or something.
So we're not really sure. There was no real details. We know it's powered by NVIDIA Tegra processor. We do not know, however, you know, what the storage is, what the actual power of the Tegra, if it's using all of it. We don't. We do know that it's going to take some type of cartridge, and that's pretty much all we know.
All this like mobile and like you pull the controllers off, so those are wireless. Then it's going to
probably Bluetooth
and stuff. What does this mean for battery life too?
Yeah, so
what is the weight of this thing going to be?
Yeah, and I just saw a story today that when you plug it into the dock, it might give it more power or something.
I would hope that the dock has its own graphics processing.
Yeah, so again, we don't know. It is going to be available in March, so I'm sure as things go along, we'll get a lot more information. But I think it's cool. It's a different road, obviously, from a traditional console, which I kind of like.
Yeah, is this... Okay, so they've been talking about... Is it the NX?
Yes, this is what the NX...
This is the NX.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well then, I certainly think that they did a great job of surprising the world with it, though. And I already had a gamer friend of mine that I saw today get all excited about it, so...
Yeah.
And he's not even a traditional, like, Nintendo, you know, player.
Yeah, I think this is sort of like an Apple thing. You know how, like, Apple announces something, and, like, people are like, oh my god, it's revolutionary?
Yeah.
But, like, we've seen this.
But it like really
As PC people, we're like, we've seen this. It's called the NVIDIA Shield.
Yeah. I think, though, that you do when you sell it. Nintendo carries, you know, they have a following.
Yes.
And it's...
And who doesn't love Mario games, right?
Oh, seriously, yeah. I mean, who doesn't love all the Shield games, though, too? But, like, that's a whole other thing altogether.
Yeah.
The Shield is just, like... It doesn't have... You kind of have an infrastructure built, right?
Yes, yes.
So, which Nintendo obviously has.
Yeah, so... I think it's cool. We will... Obviously, as time goes on and more information is released, especially when it comes to hardware, we will definitely let you know what's inside that thing.
Yeah. I think that, honestly, just based on looks, it looks like a PSP or...
Much bigger screen.
One of those devices, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, that's... The shape is very... reminiscent of that to me.
Yes. Talking about gaming, and this is more for console, but I wanted to talk about it, is that EA announced Star Wars Battlefront Ultimate Edition. And this, and actually, if you go to the link, I don't know if the pre-order is still super cheap if you're a Prime member. It's $40.
Yeah.
Or no, it's $31.99 when you check out.
Oh, okay.
So they're releasing an Ultimate Edition of Star Wars Battlefront that will have all of the DLC and a bunch of other cool stuff that you get, you know, built in.
But it's for PS4.
PS4 and Xbox One. Hmm. And it comes with DLC content that hasn't been released yet either. So the reason I want to talk about this is because there will be DLC content for Star Wars Battlefront based on Rogue One content, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you get that too.
You get that too in this Ultimate Edition, but that just means for PC we will see that DLC coming.
Yeah, we'll which have to is pay for it.
Yes, we will. But I'm super excited. More Star Wars, the better.
Yeah, I mean, I have a PS4. I suppose I could buy this, but would I actually play it?
Yeah. Well, it's cool for people who haven't bought the game yet. You can get the Ultimate Edition with everything.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you but you have to play it on a console.
This is true. Then that's a game that I feel you shouldn't have to play on a console.
No, you don't play shooters on console.
Yes. Yes. Talking about that.
Contrary to our friends' beliefs.
Yeah. Talking about that. Nvidia this week announced that they're giving away $50,000 worth of Shadow Warrior 2 game keys. Pretty easy to do. All you do is download the latest GeForce Experience, log in, and you'll be randomly selected. I was not, so I'm kind of bummed out.
Let's say you don't use GeForce Experience because you don't want bloatware on your computer.
This is the whole reason they want you.
Maybe I should do it just to see and then uninstall when I don't get it.
Yes, that's all you really have to do is just log on to GeForce Experience. You have to log in, you have to create an account. But once you do, I guess they email you. I'm not really sure how it works. But they're giving away $50,000 with the keys, which is a lot.
Yeah,
so,
that's a lot of keys.
Yeah, so pretty cool on that front. And then today, it happened this morning, and I don't believe it's still going on. I can check.
It ended at like 4:25, 4:30.
The other sites are up right now. So, a lot of major websites were down today. Quite a lot. And when I mean major sites, PayPal, which is huge because a lot of businesses rely on PayPal, and they were down. Twitter was down. And of course, so many businesses rely on Twitter and a lot of business-related stuff.
Reddit was down.
Zendesk was down, which is customer service. And so many people use that as their customer service.
Oh, that would be horrible.
Yeah. A lot of backup sites. Backup sites. Well, yeah. Spotify was down. I went to listen to music today, which I don't even like pay for music. You know what I mean? Like I stream all my music, so I don't have music. I don't have physical copies of, not physical,
that's what pay a little money and then you can have here.
Yeah. But Yelp was down.
Netflix.
Nobody was
a lot of people chilling. Nobody Netflixing today.
Yeah. Disqust was down. So if you notice on Think Computers, none of our comments were there. All of our comments were gone because Disqust was down. NHL.com was down. Zoho CRM was down, which is huge. A lot of these business things that were down had to affect businesses. Starbucks rewards and gift cards was down. So if you want to pay today with your Starbucks account, I assume you couldn't. No. People don't realize that these services that we use every day, and like then when they go down, you're like, what the hell? Especially when it comes to businesses, the big ones again, PayPal.
I'm noticing PlayStation Network. Poor PlayStation Network.
Yeah, PlayStation Network is down.
They've gotten hit so hard.
Basecamp, that's a business application. Box.com, big application. For business, a lot of the stuff.
Friday, just stopping the flow of money.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. A lot
Pinterest,
of stuff.
Were you about to say Pinterest?
No, I was gonna say Pinterest was down. It's a pretty huge website.
Not money, but a lot of upset women.
Yeah,
or men, I suppose.
Yeah, Eventbrite was down. So if you're trying to sell tickets or have an event. I mean, that could have messed up. You know, like, again, we take a lot of this stuff for granted. And this is, in recent memory, this is one of the biggest attacks. And so this was a denial of service attack on, not on these websites, but on one of the major DNS hosts for these websites.
What was the name of that?
DYN.
Yeah.
And it seemed to only affect the United States and Europe, but that's a lot of internet traffic.
And it was like specific. It was the West Coast, or it was the East Coast. And then it moved to the West Coast. I thought, right?
Yeah. So it's really interesting. And again, it's one of the bigger times when, because I remember the early days of Twitter. You know, these big services that we use. There have been attacks, or there have been just where they messed up and it went down, and everybody like went crazy, like, "Oh, Twitter's down."
Yeah.
You know. but to have all of these major services go down, and it's not the service's fault. It's because there was a major, from all accounts, a botnet that was attacking the DNS host.
Yeah, a huge botnet.
Yeah, massive botnet for something like that to happen.
Yeah. This is someone suggested in a comment on Facebook. It might have been on the post you had that Internet of Things. Because they're finding like all of these Internet of Things, all these connected devices, like refrigerators even, they have like no security software on them. Because nobody, it didn't occur to anyone. And while that doesn't seem like a big deal, because like, who cares? Who knows what my grocery list is, right?
Yeah.
You can still install a botnet onto it and use it as like a slave computer, essentially.
Yeah. And what's crazy is that, you know, you can install Linux on like no storage at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So like, it doesn't matter what it is. So suddenly you go from like, the millions of computers to literally probably like billions of devices.
And if you think about it, if you don't follow what Derek's saying, is we have all these connected devices. Like in my, you know, right now I have a webcam that's like recording me 24/7 for like a security camera, but it's connected to the internet. We have smart locks and smart you know, all these smart devices in our home that are connected to the internet, like a Nest or something like that. As Derek said, you know, a smart refrigerator, our smart TV, like all of these things, that a lot of them don't have security features, which they should.
And they're not powerful devices in from a computing standpoint, but they can send a ping and they can request information from a website. And if you have them all do it at the same time,
yes,
you have a DDoS attack.
Yeah, and I think it's it just speaks to that we do need to have certain things in place, and that nothing, you know, we haven't had a major attack on services like this in a while, at least not to my knowledge.
Since Christmas,
something.
If you want to count when Lizard Squad brought down PlayStation and Microsoft,
that's
not even this big. I wouldn't say.
Yeah, this one's pretty big because. Again, a lot of these are business-centric services. You know, the big one, again, PayPal. A lot of people just use PayPal as their, you know, PayPal.
Oh, dude. Oh, totally.
Yeah, like, you know.
Like for everything. I mean, you can get a PayPal debit card and then essentially use PayPal as your bank.
Yeah. And then,
suddenly you don't have your money because the site is down.
And PayPal has the, you know, card readers and stuff for businesses. But that's what they use to swipe people out, you know, and if that goes down, you can't do any business. Zendesk is used as a major customer support for major businesses. I off the top of my head, I can think of five businesses that use, like major businesses that use Zendesk for their customer support and call center and things like that. If that doesn't work, your customers are pissed in, like, you know, Zoho CRM, which is a CRM software that major businesses use. It's one of the biggest out there. That doesn't work. You don't know what you're doing for the day. Like, you know, it's...
Guess we're going to take Friday off, folks.
Yeah. Those are the ones that are really, I think, more than Reddit being down. Or I mean, Twitter's pretty big when it comes to business, too, as far as a social standpoint.
We can get by with a day without Twitter.
Yeah. But those other ones, when it's business and a lot of, especially with PayPal, money's on the line and things like that, it's a big deal.
It moves away from like the image and advertising part of your business, and it moves into like the infrastructure, the function, the actual ability to do business.
Yeah. So that was pretty much this morning. It seems to be fixed by now, which is good.
Anybody
claiming? Not that I know of. I didn't. I haven't checked it in the past hour and a half, maybe since we've been on here.
Here's what I'm curious about. It's October 21. There's no significance to this day. It's a Friday, so I guess you'd see bank traffic today, I suppose. But this is just a nothing day. Do you think this is just a test?
That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
That's the scary thing.
Because to attack a site, or not a site, a server like this is to like really test what your botnet can do, right?
But this
is
true.
You've also exposed yourself, so
they know how to better protect against it.
Yeah, and like so that people know that it's out there, but like, so does that mean that you have an even bigger botnet, or there's more of it available that you're waiting to use later for something?
That's scary. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And it doesn't seem like anything was targeted specifically, as far as like, you know, we see a lot of things getting taken down. Like we saw the Microsoft thing, because they're not a very well-liked company. You know, this is a DNS which supports many different websites. And it doesn't seem like anything was specifically targeted at them.
Yeah, to me, it was just like, hey, pick one of the biggest.
Yeah, like we're going to take down a good amount of the internet today.
See if we can take down one of the biggest. See what it'll
do. Yeah, so...
And be like able to lose it and still not like... Because like, you know, like you just exposed the... One of the strengths of a botnet is that it's hidden, right? You don't know it's there. It doesn't do anything on the computer until it like, you know, is activated. So now like you've exposed it, that might be gone. What do you have in reserve that this you were able to throw this away?
Yeah. That's the scary thing. So
that was today.
That's and the whole thing.
Happy weekend, about, folks.
Yeah, you talked about is there a bigger one out there? Is, you know, this is possible now. You know, and again, it's weird to think of, because we take all the infrastructure that makes business and browsing and entertainment good. And you know, we take it for granted. We take all of that for granted. And when it goes down, we don't know what to do.
We really don't.
You know, just not having Twitter for some people is you know, not having Netflix, or, you know, those simple services which we take the infrastructure for granted. It's all vulnerable. Like, I don't think I really don't feel like there's a secure system in the world.
There is not.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing. And we take it for granted. So, hope it doesn't happen again. But more than likely it will.
Yeah. You know what I do want to see, though? I want to see Facebook get taken down.
It's been a while for that.
Like, it was since the early days when they weren't built up like they are now.
Yeah. And Facebook would just go down for so much traffic. But there has been attacks on Facebook and things like that.
Yeah, it slows, but I don't remember it actually, like...
The biggest one would be Google. If you could take Google down...
Well, there goes the internet.
Yeah, so...
Facebook would, like... If you took Facebook down, though, like, suddenly all these people would, like, not know what to do with themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
It'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think Facebook's number two and Google's number one.
Okay.
As far as traffic. Well,
as far as traffic, but that's just because everything routes to Google, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. But I, again...
Like actual time spent and, like, intent of, like...
Use. Yo, yeah, more people are actually on the site.
Like, you just Google something, and then you go to a different site, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you.
It's a waypoint.
Yeah. But, yeah, that would be the big one that you kind of, you know, mess with.
Certainly would.
So, that is the news for the week. Sorry to end on such a...
Yeah, we should have had some game news or something. Well, Battlefield 1.
Yeah, we did have game news and Nintendo and all that, so...
We're end on a happy note, not a...
Well, we'll talk about what we have coming next week. We have two products, and they're both pretty cool. So, I will be taking a look at the Fantex Enthu Lux Tempered Glass Edition case. And this is a follow-up to their Enthu Lux, which you took a look at almost 2 years ago. It's crazy. 2 years ago. Dude, we're getting old.
Time. I think I'm still using... I am. I'm using this one. One of them. Because I reviewed two of the Luxes.
Yeah.
For my test rig still.
Yeah. So this is a very... It's a full tower, big case. So the big change is, of course, instead of the side panel with the window, you have a full tempered glass side panel. So nice thick side panel there. They also changed the fan in the front. So in the original, there was a 200 millimeter fan there. Yeah. Now there's two 140s.
Yeah, looks like.
And they changed the SSD bays, so they're actually on the front part of the case, where
good.
So you can actually display them, which is kind of nice, and, especially
like, it was
with
such
the panel.
A dead space there.
Yeah. So they've done that. There's a couple other changes, but nothing major. I
RGB?
Still think. Was it RGB before?
No, this is RGB LED, and it's also like Aura Ready and Mystic Light, which is Asus and MSI, right?
Yeah, but wasn't the didn't the other ones did ha- yeah it did have RGB because I looked at your review. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it does, but it's not like it's a button RGB. That's right.
Yeah.
It can switch that.
Yeah, but again, this case one, it's pretty. Ahead of its time when it was released 2 years ago, it was pretty ahead of its time as far as features.
Yeah.
You know, we see a lot of these features as being standard now, but Fantex was one of the first to implement them, especially the PSU cover and some of the other stuff.
And just like plentiful water cooling support too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of water cooling support in this. I'm looking at the gray one. So it's a little different color.
That's cool,
different
because they've been almost everything black.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the gray.
I'm looking at the picture. The renders and the
renders. The renders look so much better than what it looks like in person.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Thinking the renders don't look very good.
Yeah, so I'm not a huge fan of the gray. I think I would have rather seen like gunmetal or something, and this is not it. And that silver is not the same color as what the case looks like.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But again, as far as the case goes, beyond the color, it is a really good case. And I'll be telling you about it next week. And I'll be taking a look at a really interesting product from ASIO. It is their MK Retro keyboard. And we talked about this because they had it at Computex. And this is a retro style keyboard, but it's a mechanical keyboard, which is interesting. Yeah. And it's made to look like the keys are circular, made to look like sort of a typewriter type deal.
It's like, I don't know. Going for that steampunky thing.
Yes.
But not, it doesn't quite get to steampunky.
Yes. So I'm not going to tell you that much about it, but it is cool. I think that I like products like this.
Is
I like
it a novelty or is it useful?
I would say it's a novelty. You're not going to do a lot of gaming on this.
Okay.
But I mean, so any keyboard, right?
Yeah.
You'll get used to over time.
Okay, of course.
And this is mechanical.
Yeah.
Clicky mechanical.
Chaos switches?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe. It's clicky mechanical, so you're going to have that tactile feedback and everything.
Okay.
Like, you know, so that is the good part about it. The round keys, they're not going to help you with gaming, obviously.
Yeah.
This isn't designed for gaming, it's designed for typing. I think it's cool. I think it's something that if you obviously use this for a while, you would get used to the keys.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be an issue at all. And I think it's something cool that if you would have in your office or something like that, especially if you're like a design studio or something like that, this is something cool to have.
Yeah, I see this more like put this at your front desk, like.
Yeah.
As, you know, the face of your company style.
Yes.
But yeah, I was about to ask you more, but we'll just check out your review next week.
Yeah, check out the review next week. Pretty
we'll
cool
talk
product
about
though.
It on the podcast.
Yes, we will.
Soon.
Another big thing that we didn't talk about, which I've known for about a month, is that I'm going to Hong Kong on Sunday.
Nice.
So our friends at Zotac are having a huge event for their 10th anniversary, which is a big deal to them. And it's not only a big event, you know, for the 10th anniversary, they're doing a esports competition, which I believe is for Overwatch. So like 5 of the best teams in the world will be there. So I'll be
nice.
At that event. And I'm doing a factory tour, which I've never done. So I'll actually get to go and see where the Zotac graphics cards and motherboards and other products are made, which is really interesting. And, of course, I will have coverage on all of that. But definitely, if you're not on our Instagram, which you should be, if you're on Instagram, it's just Think Computers. And I use the live feature or the live stories or whatever it is. It's basically the copied Snapchat feature. Because I hate having to log out and log in with my personal Snapchat and Think Computer Snapchat that we were using for a while. So I just use the live stories on Instagram. So definitely follow that to follow my whole progress and, you know, the whole trip. And I'll try to do some blog posts on Think Computers itself. A lot of it I'll be releasing on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and all of that. And next week we also have a second contest. So we're running, we talked about it last week, we're running the VX500 from OCZ, 512 gig SSD that you can get completely for free, giving away. And that's ending in another week. But we're announcing another one coming up. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but we will be announcing it likely Monday or Tuesday.
Nice.
So stay tuned for that. And that, oh, we didn't talk about if we did anything this week. Yeah, did you do anything this week?
Yeah, I did.
What did you do?
I played a game.
Oh, no. what was it?
I played a game called Cluster Truck. It's like a, I don't know. It's like, to me, it's old school because there used to be games like this that, like, I played on, like, old computers where you, like, you just run across the top of semi-trucks and, like, jump from the top to top. You can't hit the ground. You hit the ground, you lose. Like, essentially, the floor is lava.
Interesting.
And like, but it's, like, physics-y. So, like, the trucks run into each other and they break apart and, like, they explode.
Is this on Steam?
It is on Steam.
Okay.
And it's like, you can go really fast or you can, like, try to get, like, style points or whatever. But it's obnoxious. It's like Super Meat Boy where you're, like, go die, go die, go die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one of those.
Yeah. And, yeah, so, yeah, I kind of hated it.
It's one of those things that, like, you hate, but you want to get past. You want to beat it.
Yeah, I almost got 2 hours into it.
Wow, that's a lot of time.
But I did that because I did, I got on our buddy's podcast because they needed a guest, or, well, they just needed somebody else to talk to.
Gotcha.
Onto Droolcast, our friend Jack had me on, so, you know, that gave us something to talk about other than Battlefield 4.
Gotcha. Well, that is cool. I have not played any games. Again, I will be getting Battlefield 1. Derek will eventually get it. He's always late to the game with these things.
Yeah.
I don't think
I'm going to get Gears as well.
I think I'm going to get Gears. I like that story as far as single player has always been good, at least the Gears that I played, and I played them on Xbox, but the story is always good. I like the characters. I'll definitely get that as well. But I can't. I'm just waiting until I get back from my trip because there's no point in doing that. I don't think I did anything else. I really been trying to get everything done for next week because I won't be here, and I don't know how busy I'm going to be with what Zotac has planned for us. And then as far as internet access and everything like that, you don't know what's going on. So I've been just trying to get everything done this week, so I've been super busy.
No gaming.
No gaming.
No fun nerd things.
No gaming, no fun nerd things till I get back. So on that note, we will end the podcast. If you have any, if you're looking for anything that we talk about, just we'll have a full show notes page as we always do. So for like, check out that game that Derek just talked about. We will have a link to it, at least to the Steam link. And all of the products we talked about and all of the news will have links to everything. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting platform, it's just Think Computers, all one word. Till next week, catch you guys later.